Just who controls Venezuela remains an open question this morning. The country's captured leader, Nicolas Maduro, has appeared in a Manhattan court, pleading not guilty to multiple charges and declaring, "I am still president of my country." In Caracas, his deputy has been sworn in as acting president, with U.S. President Donald Trump issuing threats that Delcy Rodriguez will pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro, he says, if she doesn't do what's right. Trump has also hinted at possible action against Colombia and suggested Cuba was ready to fall. Brian Finucane is a senior advisor at the International Crisis Group and a former legal advisor at the US State Department. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good to join you.
Now, Maduro in that Manhattan courtroom claimed that he was a prisoner of war. Is he?
I think he's got a point there. The U.S. attack on Venezuela triggered an international armed conflict, and that means the application of the law of war, including the Third Geneva Convention, which protects POWs. And he seems to have POW status. Whether or not the U.S. government will acknowledge that is a different matter.
Did it trigger an armed conflict?
Absolutely. The threshold for an international armed conflict is low. And so the bombardment of Venezuela by the United States, the incursion of U.S. armed forces into Venezuela, and then the capture of its leader, including its commander-in-chief, very much triggered an international armed conflict.
Now, Maduro's lawyer indicated to the court that he may file motions about the legality of his client's abduction. Do you think, realistically, he will be able to successfully challenge his arrest or the charges brought against him?
There is a high bar for such challenges under U.S. law. As a general matter, there is a legal doctrine established in the United States that makes it very difficult for individuals captured abroad to challenge or block a criminal proceeding based on the illegality of their capture.
Now, in Venezuela itself, the acting president, Delcy Rodriguez, has indicated publicly, at least she said, she's ready to cooperate with the U.S. How do you see it from a legal point of view? Is she now the legitimate leader of Venezuela?
As best I can tell, as a matter of Venezuela's own internal laws, she seems to have acceded to the command in the absence of Maduro. Of course, there's the separate question of, tying back to the 2024 election, who was the rightful winner of that. But I will also say that it's notable that the Trump administration seems to be treating her as the leader of Venezuela, and they have pointedly not endorsed or recognized the opposition leaders. And President Trump basically threw Machado, the leader of the opposition, under the bus in his Saturday press conference.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm talking to Brian Finucane, a senior advisor at the International Crisis Group. Now, Donald Trump has talked about a possible second strike on Venezuela. He said that military action in Colombia sounds good to me. The State Department has just put out a post saying this is our hemisphere. I guess perhaps we shouldn't be surprised by these actions and threats, given that new national security strategy that the administration put out recently. Is that how you read it?
Well, President Trump has been engaging in this sort of bluster about potential military action in the Western Hemisphere since even before he was inaugurated for his second term against Greenland, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, at times even Canada. So this is nothing new. What is concerning is that he does seem to have been emboldened by the apparent success of Operation Absolute Resolve. This is a president who appreciates military spectacle, and the operation in Venezuela certainly was spectacular, regardless of its illegality. And so the concern is, yes, that he will be emboldened to undertake further military adventures in the region.
Do you think that he will?
I think it may come down to the specific country and the degree to which those around him are on board, let's say his immediate advisors, and to what extent they try to steer him in other less destructive directions. I think a major factor at play in the U.S. attacking Venezuela was a months-long effort by the U.S. Secretary of State to convince the U.S. president to do so. It's not clear to me whether his close advisors are similarly going to be supportive or try to redirect the president's attention and focus elsewhere if he tries to pursue military action in other countries.
At a meeting of the UN Security Council today, we saw South American leaders united in condemnation of the US, Cuba describing Washington's plans as criminal. Mexico said that the council had an obligation to act. But realistically, just what could the UN do?
Well, I think a good model for how the UN could respond is the 1989 U.S. invasion of Panama, which this administration has used for a model and invoked today before the Security Council for its attack on Venezuela. And in following the 89 invasion, the UN General Assembly voted to condemn the U.S. action. Now, that wasn't a binding action, but nonetheless conveyed the sense of the international community that what the U.S. had done in 89 was unlawful.
Is that likely?
I don't know. I don't know whether we're going to get a vote or what the outcome might be. But certainly, I think given the continuing threats by this administration against other countries in Latin America and even further abroad, like Iran, as you mentioned in your previous segment, I think that may increase the likelihood of action in the General Assembly.
Brian Finucane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.